All right, appreciate you being here. Thank you for coming to the house of God on Wednesday night. I'd like you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 5, the book of Revelation chapter number 5. I've been doing a series, just every now and then I'll come back to the next part of this, on sound doctrine and just preaching on the doctrines found within the Word of God. Obviously, this will not be an exhaustive study with any doctrine that we do, because how do you fully exhaust a Bible doctrine? You don't. But this is another doctrine that we've come to. We've preached on the doctrine of the Word of God. We've preached on the doctrine of the local church. And I think there's one other doctrine that we've preached on, the doctrine of God Himself. And now we come to the next doctrine that the Lord's laid on my heart. And I want to try to just get through the introduction of this tonight. The introduction's a little over 3 pages long, okay? So just stay with me here as we start this next doctrine here that I'm sure you'll be interested in. But asking the Lord to help us to get started off on the right foot, so to speak, as we embark on this detailed study in the future. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You'll notice in verse number 11, there's a word there, and it's the word angels. And I'm beginning tonight a study on the doctrine of angels. And we're asking the Lord to give us an understanding of this. And tonight I want you to pray with me that in the introduction, that we'll get a clear understanding of before we get to the outline, which will be another service. These are foundational things about angels to keep in mind. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us tonight, I pray. Help me, Lord, to do an accurate job, to be well-pleasing in your sight. Take full control of me and this service, and may nothing be said that displeases you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look into the Word of God, we find that angels are mentioned in many books of the Bible, and they are found present on many different occasions. As a matter of fact, just some of these times in the Word of God that angels are found present are things like this. Now, I'm going to four major thoughts here momentarily. Just stay with me. But we find within the Word of God that they are found at the creation of the world. The Bible says in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7, it says, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars, that's the angels, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So when God created the world, when He created the earth, they were present there with Him. Now we know else, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we know elsewhere within the Word of God that angels are created beings themselves, which means that God must have created them before He created the earth. We notice that they were not only present at the creation of the world, but they were present at the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. We see this in Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 15, where the Word of God says this. It says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We notice in the Word of God that they were at the creation of the world. We notice in the Word of God that they were at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice in the Word of God that they were at the Lord Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when the devil is deceiving, or at least trying to deceive the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, And the Lord has a pinpointed just attack on him, and he refutes this attack three times by quoting scripture. At the end of that passage in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." In other words, after the Lord defeated the devil's temptation, the Bible tells us here that the angels came and ministered unto the Lord. So we see that they were at the creation of the world. We see that they were at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that they were at the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we notice that they were in Gethsemane. The night that the Lord was going to sweat great drops of blood, the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 to 43, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So we see an angel there in Gethsemane. We know that there were angels present at the Lord Jesus' resurrection, at the tomb scene. This is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. By the way, you can have all my notes, because you're probably not going to be able to keep up with my notes here. This is being recorded, so you can go back and get it. Anytime you want my notes, I type them out so you can read through them. Just ask me for them. I'll be happy to give them to you. But we see here that they were also found at the Lord Jesus Christ's tomb at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We see this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Wouldn't you like to have been there? I mean, the angel of the Lord came, rolled the stone back, just took a seat on it. Verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." In John 20, verses 11 to 12, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." They were at the creation of the world. They were at the birth of Jesus. They were at the temptation of Jesus. They were there in Gethsemane when he was so heavily burdened for us, strengthening him. I'm talking about an angel came to him. They were at the Lord's tomb when the Lord was resurrected. And we also find that they were at the Lord Jesus' ascension when he went back to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." We see throughout the Word of God, and these are just some of these, that these angels came on the scene. Along with this, we know from the Word of God that they not only have appeared in the past, but they will also be with the Lord when he comes back to the earth. The Bible teaches this in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, which says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Matthew 16, 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels." Matthew 25, 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." I don't know about you, but that's getting me a little bit excited right there. Just thinking that these angels that God created were there with him when he made the world. They were there to announce his birth. An angel came to strengthen him right there. These angels came to minister to him after he defeated the devil in his temptation. An angel came to strengthen him in Gethsemane. The angels were there at the tomb to announce his resurrection. One of them sitting there and two of them there. I don't know all of them that were there, but we see that. We see them there at his ascension when he went back to heaven. All of a sudden, two of them appeared and just said, "Why are you looking up there? This same Jesus is coming back just like you've seen him go." And then the Lord said, when he comes back to planet Earth some glorious day. By the way, he is coming back, and he's not going to ask anybody's permission before he does. And when he comes back, he's going to have his holy angels with him. Now, folks, as we think about this, it should point our minds and our hearts to God, looking heavenward, spiritual realm. And before we get to our detailed study, which again I will not get to tonight, but before we ever get to the detailed study on the doctrine of angels, I want to give you four introductory thoughts tonight. This is all an introduction. That I just want to lay these bedrock truths down. Before we go into detail about the angels, we need to keep these four things in mind. Let me give them to you. Number one tonight, we need to keep this in mind. Number one, that we should base our beliefs on the scriptures, not on speculation. Here's what I mean. The point here is there is so much speculation going on about angels today. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this a lot here. I'm not going to bring all the speculations out. I'm just going to give you a for instance. For instance. In other words, people have imagined. They've imagined angels in certain ways. For instance, if you see some figurines today of angels, a lot of times they are female. With long hair and wings. You will not find that in the scriptures. Did you hear what I said? In other words, listen to me now. Think of it. Within the Word of God, every time an angel is referred to, it is always in the masculine form. Always. Now, if there are female, and I say if here because we don't know, but if there are female angels, the Word of God says nothing about it. So we know the ones that God's Word talks about, they are always in the masculine form. That's a speculation that people have dreamed up, you see. It's not true. You cannot base what you believe on what you think. You must base what you believe on the Word of God. That doesn't just apply to angels. That applies to everything in life. Now, for instance, have you ever heard somebody refer to a departed loved one that they're now an angel in heaven? You probably have, right? Well, they must be making a beautiful angel in heaven tonight. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm not going to be an angel. Amen. You're not either. That is something people have dreamed up. There's a children's book that put it this way. Listen to this. Here's what the children's book says. It says, heaven is a place where girls get turned into angels and then God tries to do the best he can with the boys. I kind of agree with that with the boys, but anyway. The Word of God never teaches, ever, it never teaches that a departed human being becomes an angel in heaven. That's speculation. That's not the teaching of the Word of God. Now, concerning wings. Do they have wings? It's not a trick question. It kind of sounds like it. But here it is now. There is not the remotest hint in Scripture that angels spend time trying to earn their wings. Like it's a wonderful life, right? Attaboy, Clarence. You know what I'm saying? On It's a Wonderful Life. In fact, except for two classes of heavenly beings known as the cherubim and the seraphim. Now, we'll study those throughout this study now. But except for those two classes, there's not a lot of evidence in Scripture that angels even have wings. Now, we don't know, you understand, but every time you think of an angel and every time you see one on TV, what do they always have? Wings, right? They've got wings. There's no evidence of that in Scripture. except for the seraphim and the cherubim. Here's point number one tonight. Let's determine not to speculate. Let's determine not to say, well, the figurine in my mama's house says differently now. But let's determine that what the Word of God teaches about them, that's where we're going to focus. That's where we're going to dwell. That's where we're going to bring it out. We ought to try to know as much about angels as God has determined to reveal to us. And then be content to leave it at that. Someday we'll understand more. That's number one. That's an introductory thought. Are you with me there? Let's see what God's Word says about it. That's what the whole study is going to be about. Number two, here's second introductory thought. We must never let angels replace God in our lives. Now, stay with me here. As exciting as it is to think about angels, and it is exciting. I mean, let's just be honest. The angels carried Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Okay, it's exciting, okay? It's exciting to think about this. I mean, it's exciting to think about the angels at the tomb and all these kind of things and the angel that rolled the stone away and sat on top. Sure, it's exciting. I get it. But they should never take the place of God in our hearts and in our lives. Christianity Today said this. Listen to this. Here's what Christianity Today said. And I quote, "Angels too easily provide a temptation for those who want a fix of spirituality without bothering with God Himself." That's a powerful statement. In other words, people don't mind angels. They kind of like it. Just leave God to yourself, though. Friends, while angels are intriguing, they are never to occupy the place in our hearts that only God can fill. A Bible example of this, when I found this in my study, this is powerful. It really is. A Bible example of this, of angels can never take the place of God, is found in Exodus chapter 32 and 33. Now, you don't need to turn there. Just let me explain this. In those chapters, those are the chapters where Moses is up on the mountain with God, communing with God. Down below, Aaron and the Israelites are getting a little impatient, and they start taking their earrings off and all this kind of stuff, and he starts fashioning a golden calf. You know the story. And they make this golden calf to worship. As a result of this, God told Moses that instead of him, now listen, go back and read this. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 to 3, God tells Moses, He said, "I want you to go and I want you to tell them, I am going to send an angel to lead them." Read it. "I'm going to send an angel to lead you into the land that I've promised you." In other words, my promise has not changed. I'm still going to give you the land. But I'm going to send an angel to lead you there. And then he says this, "I'm not doing it. You're a stiff-necked people. I will not lead you. I'm sending an angel instead." Are you with me? Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be excited to have an angel lead you? If you could look out in front of you and say, "Boy, there's an angel in front of me. Hey, wouldn't you love to have an angel leading you?" Sure. But if you have to settle for an angel other than the Lord, here's what they did. In chapter 33, verse 4, it says, "And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned." They cried. "And no man did put on him his ornaments." Matter of fact, you don't need to turn to it. Let me go back and read this, because my explanation of it is not like the Word of God. Let me just let the Word of God speak here. Listen to this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee." There it is. "I will send an angel before thee. And I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." God's saying this, "I want to be right in the middle of you. And I want to lead you there myself. But you're so stiff-necked. Your sin is going to separate you from my presence. Now, it does not alleviate, it does not minimize my promise to you. I'm still going to give you the land. But I'm going to send an angel to lead you because I can't stand to be around you right now. I'm paraphrasing. And when they heard that, the average person say, wow, we get an angel. But not the Israelites. The Israelites realized that when compared to God, an angel's really nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? Now folks, nowhere in Scripture will you ever find where a person asks for an angel's help. You're not going to find it. God, please send me an angel. You will not find it in God's Word. Let me tell you why. Because we need more than an angel's help, friend. We need God's help. They simply do not take the place of God. Like one preacher said, he said, besides God, there is no one on earth and no one in heaven, not even angels, who can give your soul true fulfillment. The Word of God speaks of this in Psalm 73:25. It says, whom have I in heaven but thee? Where are the angels? I know they go back and forth, I get it, but their residence is in heaven. And the psalmist said, who do I have in heaven except you? Let that speak to your heart. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Could it be that God does not let us know everything about the angels because He knows our tendency is to make an idol out of everything? Could it be? And God knows that if the more we know, the more we want to worship angels. It's just the tendency of human beings. And God doesn't want anything, including angels, to take His place. You need to keep that in mind. Let me give you a third introductory thought. Base your beliefs on Scripture, not speculation. Never let angels replace God in your heart and life. Number three, this is kind of a build on this, we should never worship angels. It's without question that angels are not to be worshipped. As an angel spoke to John, the apostle of love, the one who laid on the bosom of Christ, I'm just talking about he put his head on his chest, so to speak. The apostle of love. In the book of Revelation, listen to what John said in verse number 10. After this angel speaking to him and showing him all these things, here's what John said. And he said, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he, it's an angel, read it, it's an angel. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. He said, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 22:8-9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And the angel said, worship God. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. That don't let anybody get you to worship angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Romans 1:25 puts it this way, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Exodus 23:5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Amen. Don't make any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above. Or that's in the earth beneath. Or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Psalm 89:6 puts it this way, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? A.W. Tozier put it this way. He said, forever God stands apart in light unapproachable. He is as high above an archangel as above a caterpillar. For the gulf that separates the archangel from the caterpillar is but finite, while the gulf between God and the archangel is infinite. The caterpillar and the archangel, though far removed from each other in the scale of created things, are nevertheless one in that they are alike created. Now, is a caterpillar more majestic or less majestic than an angel? Absolutely. But they're both created by God. They both belong to the category of that which is not God and are separated from God by infinitude itself. See, such majestic beings as angels can lift our eyes from this troubled and temporal earth, but they are meant to draw our gaze to the Lord, not themselves. All glory is due to God, and the holy angels know that. And He has no intention of sharing His glory with anybody or anything, including angels. Angels deserve no more worship than a caterpillar does. Did you hear that? Because they're both created by God. We too are spiritual beings. And as we go honestly and carefully into a deeper study of angels, which we're going to do that, as we go deeper and deeper in this study, our spirits cannot help but experience the desire to worship. That's what the holy angels do. It just makes you want to worship. Stand in awe. So as we go on in our study, if you remember any words at all that you've heard angels speak in Scripture, remember especially these two words. Worship God. Now that's foundational to this study. Because we're going to bring out some things about them and it's like, wow. Wow. I'm telling you, it should not cause us to say, wow, what angels. No, no, no. It should be, wow, what a God who's created those for me. Do you see the difference? Let me give you a fourth and final introductory thought, and we're done tonight. This thought is, and I just put it this way, Jesus Christ is to be praised. Here's what I mean by this. As we think about angels and how they're not to take the place of God, and they're not to receive the worship that only belongs to God, let us pause and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He is God, and He is superior to the angels. As a matter of fact, just to whet your appetite here a little bit, the most extensive treatment of angels in the entire Bible stretches over the first two chapters in the book of Hebrews. But the whole discussion on angels makes one resounding point. You know what it is? Christ is superior to them. With reason after reason, the author of Hebrews drives this message home. So before we get started with angels at a later time in detail, let's not forget it's not about the angels, it's about God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, we see that God calls Jesus His Son, a title that angels never wear. In chapter 1 verse 6, God commands angels to worship Jesus. Read it. In chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, God gives Jesus a solid, eternal throne from which to rule as king, while the work of angels is like a fleeting breeze of flickering flames on and off. In chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus knows more gladness than the angels, and God set Him high above His companions, the angels, by anointing Him with the oil of gladness. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, Jesus Himself created the world, a temporal world with an appointed end. Meanwhile, He Himself stays unchanged and eternal, highly honored by God, and with all His enemies crouched underfoot. In other words, His enemies are put under His feet. These verses teach that. Angels, on the other hand, are only servant spirits whose job is to wait upon the human beings that's been rescued from this temporal world. They're His servants that He sends to serve you and me. In chapter 2, verses 5 to 9, in the world to come, it's not the angels who will be in charge. It's Jesus who will be in charge. And as we think about all of this, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, the Bible says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In Philippians 2, 9 and 10, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven. Amen. That means the angels will bow to Him. Of things in heaven and things on the earth. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter 3, 21 and 22, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Get it? Angels. There they are. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. As you think about the supremacy of Christ, that glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, by thinking about the angels, and He's got a name above every name, and at His name even the angels are going to bow. What a way to end this introduction part by thinking about what Jesus did. Because if you know the Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, was made lower than the angels. He was made lower than the angels so that He could taste death for every man. And He gave, through His death, by becoming lower than the angels, not talking about in His essence, I'm talking about becoming a man, you understand? Because we are lower than the angels. He became one of us. He who is God, that the angels will confess to, that the angels will bow to, that the angels are in authority to, right here, that they're under His authority. That God left heaven and took upon Him the form of a servant to become lower than the angels so that you and I could become children of God. No wonder, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, no wonder the Apostle Paul said it this way, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul even went on to say, just in case somebody starts thinking too highly of angels, here's what Paul said. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, here's what he said. Listen to this. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him go to hell. And he included the angels in that. See, though Christ is above all, including angels, He became lower than the angels. So you and I can rise above the angels and become children of Almighty God. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a Master. And even though this is the doctrine of angels that we're looking at, I just felt the Lord just prompting me, you need to lay some groundwork. And that groundwork is what we looked at tonight. Don't speculate. Go to the Scriptures and see what God says about the angels. There's only one being who can fill the void in our hearts, and His name is God. The angels can never fill that in our place. And we should never dethrone God in our heart and put angels on our throne's heart. On top of that, we should never worship angels. We should worship the angels. God is who we should worship. Because He's our God. And we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. That all these angels are subject unto Him. They're going to bow to Him one someday. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And even though He is so much higher than the angels, He became lower than the angels. So you and I can go to heaven some glorious day. You with me so far? I'd like to start it and go on. I'm not going to. Because I don't have any more typed notes here except for one sentence or so. But we need to stop and focus on those points before we start diving into detail on the angels of Almighty God. Amen? Let me whet your appetite with this. It's not good news. But I think it'll be intriguing. God wouldn't want to end this series, this study on angels, with the evil angels. You know, there are different classes of angels. There are the holy angels, and there are the wicked angels. You know them as demons. Demonology. The devil, Satan, Lucifer. Who was he? He's an angel. That's who he is. But he's a fallen one. And he's out to destroy your life. And I can't hardly wait to get to that. Because it's my goal in that just to expose him. Here he is. See him? Here's how he's doing it. It'll help you in your Christian life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you help us to be prepared for this study that we're going to embark on in the near future as we study these things on angels and understand the importance of them. And Lord, how you have a purpose for them just like you have a purpose for us. And help us to be faithful to you today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Maybe tonight the Lord, as we're preparing for the invitation, is speaking to you by just reminding you tonight about what the Lord did for you. You think about these angels that are so powerful, but yet they are nothing in comparison to God. God created them. They're His ministering spirits. They belong to Him. He made them. But they are never to take His place. They are never to receive the worship that only God deserves. But on top of that, has God spoken to you tonight about what He did to show you how much He loves you? By the Lord Jesus stepping out of heaven, becoming a man, being made, the Word of God says, a little lower than the angels. He who is God made Himself lower than His creation so that He might bring us to God. Wow. Maybe tonight your heart's just touched by the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being made lower than the angels so that I can become a child of God. There ought to be something inside of every heart of every child of God that says, thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. I give you praise. We worship you tonight. They begin to play through softly. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, teach me in this series on angels. Teach me in this doctrine. But Lord, above everything else, teach me more about you. Help me to see you more. Help me to learn more of your love through the study of these angels. May the Lord help us with this, no doubt about it. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, come let us take a Bible, share Jesus with you. There's time for you. Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If God wants you to come, come on and talk to the Lord about it.
You'll take out your prayer list tonight, turn to the mission section. Let me give you some specific things to pray for. We start with the Holtz, who are working in Chile, and they're actually here in the States. He was just here last week. He's in a missions conference in Greenville. But they are starting a new church called the Love Baptist Church, and just commissioned a man to do that, so pray about that new work. And then this is their third anniversary at the Liberty Baptist Church, and they need a permanent facility. So let's pray that God would provide a church building for them that they can meet in. They are having two services, and one of those is already full. So God is blessing them. The church is growing, and they need a new place to meet. So let's pray for the Holtz. They'll be back in Chile soon. The Sterin family in Japan, God is blessing their work. Mainly that they have many prayer requests here, and there are just a lot of different Japanese people they want to see saved, and I'm not going to try to pronounce them for you, but let's just pray that God would really minister and help them as they try to reach obviously very difficult work, slow work, that God would encourage them, they'd see some folks saved. They also ask for prayer for their daughter Hannah, has some health needs, so we can pray for Hannah also. Finally, the Smith family, they are in Nova Scotia, and they're in church planting, and they are knocking on doors after door after door after door. So they have been to over 6,000 doors. They're trying to plant a church, trying to get it going, and they have had a lot of physical problems. Rob has had to have surgery on his ankle, and pretty severe. Pray that God would touch him. His wife Sarah had surgery. Their daughter Elizabeth had surgery, all within like 10 days. So they had a time. Now, this is their letter for, I think, September. But let's really pray for God to touch them and just help them as they try to plant this church and get it going there in Nova Scotia. Go ahead. Okay, we do have a short video from Travis Stills in the work in Hawaii, and so you'll see that.
Hello, East Tennessee. Brother Sam has made it up, and right now our biggest need is we're looking for a location, something maybe like this. Schofield Barracks is around 200 yards away from here, and so we're looking for a building to lease to plant the church. So we covered your prayers concerning this right now, as well as doing the home Bible studies and some other things we got going on, but biggest need right now is finding the Lord's will in this location to start the church.
So we came up here after church this morning at Ohana Baptist Church, and we're not able to get in yet, but there are a couple of meeting rooms in here that are for lease. One is a 1,300 square foot building meeting place, and which will need some walls taken out if we were to use that. That's a little small. Smaller than what I'd like to start off with. But then there's a 1,900 square foot potential meeting place in here as well. And so, as Brother Stills mentioned, that's our pressing prayer request. We need a place to meet. And so we'll be doing some searching pretty heavily these next couple weeks in anticipation of getting the church started. So we covet your prayers. We're glad to be with the Stills and working together. So thanks so much.
That the Lord will open the right door for the correct building. If you'll take out your prayer sheet, I'll give you some special requests to put down. This is our week to all stay in here together and pray in the auditorium together. I encourage you, if you're comfortable with it, if you'll find a prayer partner, I think that'll be a good thing. I hope if you're with your mate that you're comfortable praying with your mate, okay, all those kind of things. If you'd rather pray alone, that's perfectly fine. Don't ever feel pressure to do that, but I would encourage you, if you'd like to find a prayer partner right now, it'd be a time to do that. If you'll write down the name Josh Harrington, this is Joy's son, and he was electrocuted very, very badly this week. And God really stepped in and helped him. He is now home, but he's still a little fuzzy and things like this. And we're praying for him. It could have been a lot worse. What I saw and what I heard from her and then saw in writing was when they found him, He was blue. His heart had stopped, and he had stopped breathing. And but they shocked him back, and God's really stepped in, and we're praying for him, Josh Harrington. Do pray for Carol Smith. This is Mrs. Lashley's friend. Is that correct, Preacher Lashley? Okay. This is Preacher Lashley's friend's wife, Carol Smith, in the hospital in Memphis, and requesting special prayer for them. Okay? Tonight, we're going to pray for these two special requests. We're going to pray for these missionaries. And then you'll notice in the hospitals here, Chris Bryant is in the NHC rehab. I saw her today, and she's doing okay. She's rehabbing from this knee replacement. I pray for my grandmother, Betty, there at Franklin Woods. She fell a little while ago, and then her leg got infected, and she's doing fine, but I pray for the antibiotics that they would get this out of her. And then Ron Huskins has kidney stones. He's got to have surgery to crush them, and God willing, that'll be happening tomorrow, okay? I was speaking to my grandmother today, and I asked her, I said, when did you start playing the organ at Buffalo Ridge? Now, keep in mind, she turns 86 this month. Okay, 86. She's 85, be 86. She started playing the organ here when she was 16 years old. Can you imagine that? 16. God willing, we're gonna honor her in the near future. Don't tell her I said that. Okay, I want it to be a surprise for her. But I think it's a worthy thing. No doubt about it. And so on. This will be a blessing to her, but please don't ruin the surprise, okay? I should have known better, Lord. I know. I let it out and all of this. I get it. Let's just put it this way. If she knows, I'm not going to do it, okay? I'm kidding with you on that, all right? But just try to be a blessing to her and encourage her. I think that'll be a good thing, okay? Well, let's pray together and ask God to help us. Hope you don't mind. I want to pray tonight. And just pray here about all these things and praying for these missionaries. And as I pray here, I want you to pray there. Don't just listen in with me. Let's join together in prayer and praying for these two special requests and these missionaries and their needs. I do hope you'll write down Travis Steele's and the church building need that they have there and these folks in the hospitals, okay? Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I pray as we bow in prayer, I pray that you help our hearts to be clean, help our hearts to be right. May there be nothing hindering you from hearing us. Lord, we've just got to have it to where we know you're hearing our prayers. And I know that the Word of God says if we regard iniquity in our heart, that the Lord will not hear us. And Lord, as far as I know, there's no iniquity that I'm regarding in my heart. With that being said, I know that I'm not a perfect being, have many shortcomings. And I pray as I make my petitions known to you and we pray together, I pray that you help our hearts truly to be right with you, right with one another in unity. And I pray, dear Lord, that you hear our prayer request according to your will and plan and meet each one of them. I pray tonight for these who are in the hospitals. We pray for Chris Bryan with her knee surgery, this knee replacement that she had. Thank you that this knee replacement went well, the surgery. I pray for her rehab now as she's in a lot of pain and discomfort that's to be expected. And I pray that you'll help the medication to take effect, to be effective, ease her pain, help her to be able to have the rehab and get her back on her feet very soon. As she said today, I pray that you'll make it to where she can go home and be able to get up and stand and cook meals and all of these things. I pray you'll honor that request if it's your will. Pray to the Lord for my grandmother. I thank you for her faithfulness down through the years to play the organ and be in the house of God every time she can with this arthritis that's eaten her body up and how it's just kind of made her fingers very crooked and all of this, and she moves very slowly. I pray that you'll touch these antibiotics as they're giving her now to get this infection out of her bloodstream or out of her leg. As she comes home with health care, I pray that you'll touch that and anoint that and help it to be successful. I pray for Ron Huskins with his kidney stones. I thank you that they gave him some help today, and pray for this surgery he's supposed to have tomorrow. I pray that you'll guide the doctors, give them wisdom, understanding to make right decisions. Pray that you'll help it to take place with no complications. And we pray for your will to be done in his life. We pray to the Lord for these two special requests. I thank tonight of Josh Harrington. I thank you for sparing his life. Lord, it could have easily taken him into eternity. Thank you that they found him in time. And when they found him where he'd been electrocuted and he wasn't breathing and his heart was not beating, thank you for giving those folks the know-how to know what to do and when to do it. And thank you that you helped his body to rally. And I pray through this that you help him to see the love of God. And I pray that you help him, Lord God, to serve you like he's never served you before. I pray that you'll get a hold of him through this. Pray to the Lord for Carol Smith, this friend of preacher's wife that's in the hospital in Memphis. Not sure what's going on with her, but I pray for her illness or her need tonight. I pray that you'll touch her and bless her and speak peace to her heart. I pray for this friend, the husband, that you'll encourage him. And may they feel your presence with them. And may they draw close to you. May somebody be saved through this, I pray. And then, Lord, we pray for these missionaries. We thank you for these letters that were read and this video that was shown. I pray for the Holtz as they're searching for an adequate facility for this church. Thank you that this church is growing and growing consistently and faithfully and quickly. We thank you for that. Praise you for that. Pray that you don't allow the facility need to stunt their growth. And I pray that you help them to find the facility of your choosing. Thank you, Lord, that you have a will in all of this. And I pray that you'll guide them by your Spirit to the right place. I pray that you'll show them exactly the location where you'd have them to go. And may you make it obvious, make it completely, help them to be completely at peace with it, to know it's the will of God. And may that church go to the next level for your glory. Pray for the Starens and all these Japanese folks that they're praying for their salvation. I pray that you'll honor their prayer requests by leaving the door open for these precious people. Pray that not a one of them goes out into eternity without trusting Christ. Show them their need of you. Bring them to the end of themselves. And I pray that you'll defeat the devil, his ungodly spirits, and wicked, ungodly spirits, Lord, that work with him. I pray that you'll bind them and defeat them. And may the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ find good soil and give them wisdom as they deal with these folks. We pray, dear Lord, for the Smiths and their physical problems, these surgeries that they've had, and pray that you help them to recover well and with no long-term effects. Pray for these efforts. Thank you for the news that they're knocking on door after door after door. Over 6,000 doors they've knocked on. God, that's a blessing to hear that tonight. And I pray that you give them the stamina to keep going. I pray that you'll fill them with your power and your Spirit. And may you build this church for the glory of God. Pray for Travis Steels, and I think it's Sam Marosco, I believe that's there now, that they've teamed up together. They're looking for a church building. These home Bible studies, I pray you'll breathe upon them and use them to launch this local church for the glory of God. And show them what you'd have them to do. If this building that's in this video is the building of your choosing, make it obvious. Make it just very clear to them. And may your will be done. We pray to the Lord tonight that you keep your hand upon this church and help us tonight, Lord God, never to try to take your place. May we never try to go to gimmicks or anything like that, Lord, to try to build the local church. But Lord, may we just know what you want us to do and help us to be just everlastingly at it, just to be faithful at it, just to keep going, to be persistent and persevere in the things of God. We pray that you'll build this church according to your will and plan. Thank you for the precious people who are here. Thank you for the cadets for Christ and the cub cadets and the nursery and the children there and the nursery workers and all and the workers in all these places going on now. Would you breathe upon them? And Lord, as we embark on this study of angels, I want to thank you for creating angels. Lord, as I study through this and understand more about their purpose and their ministry and all these kind of things and how you send them to help and minister and serve. Lord, it just reminds us again of the majesty of our great God, of who you are. You're beyond our comprehension. And Lord, you're so worthy of our praise. And I pray tonight that you help us never to give our praise to anything other than you. May we never worship man. May we never worship angels. May we never worship anything except you, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for being made a little lower than the angels so you could taste death for every man. And because of that, we who are sinners can be saved and born again and go to heaven when we die. Father, help us to be faithful, just to be consistent, going full force for the glory of God. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before I let you go, let me tell you just a little thing that I was reading today. And I want to give you an opportunity, because we're done a little early tonight. Don't get used to that, okay? But we're done a little early. And I want to give you an opportunity, if somebody has a word of testimony that you'd like to share with us about the Lord. No sad stories, nothing like that. Just what the Lord has done for you. His salvation, who He is, His goodness. I'll give you an opportunity to do that. I'm reading a book called Leaders of Men. It's a 3-volume set. Shows different leaders down through the ages, and it gives a leadership lesson from them. And the lesson of the day was on perseverance. Just stay with it. Don't quit. He made a statement similar to this. I'm not quoting directly because I don't have it in front of me, but he said, remember that no matter how slowly the tortoise walks, even though he walks slow, he still gets to the finish line before the sleeping hare. It might be a rabbit who can run fast, but if he falls asleep, not going to beat you there. Just stay with it. You might not be any faster than a turtle. Matter of fact, call me the turtle tonight. You know what I mean? But everybody can just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Amen. Get your eyes off the rabbits and just take the next step in front of you. And that'll be pleasing to God. Anybody have a word of testimony? No problem if you don't. Yes. Yes.